There are some outlines on the back table there by the offering plate. If you wanted to get one and take some notes today, please feel free to get up and go get one now. As we hear this morning in another installment of Jesus, our Savior, our servant, our friend, as we have another opportunity to know these aspects of Jesus as he loves us and cares for us, given to us by our Heavenly Father, known by the Holy Spirit who lives within us. We've received the different aspects these weeks of Lent. Jesus, who is our forgiver, of course. Jesus, who is our healer, particularly the healer of our souls, to have a relationship with God Almighty. Jesus, who is our encourager. He encourages us with that abundant faith that we know in Jesus Christ. And today we come to another aspect of Jesus, who he is, and how he makes himself known in this way to us. We hear this in John chapter 14, verses 18 to 27, the gospel we just heard today, in this aspect of who Jesus is. In verse 18, he says to his disciples, "I will not leave you as orphans." That word orphan is a challenging word for us, isn't it? There are other words that we have in life that are a little bit challenging, maybe even ugly to us. Greece might be one of those words. Scab is one of those words. Taxes, ugly word for us, right? But all those words have something in common, and they lead to what Jesus is saying today about, "I will not leave you as orphans." What does Greece provide? It provides protection against heat and friction. In fact, many of you are getting your lawnmowers ready for the upcoming mowing season. And Sam and I worked on our lawnmower this last week, greasing everything that needs to be greased so that it would be protected as the machine is being used. A scab, ugly word, but it provides protection to a wound, and we need that protection. Taxes, yeah, something that we have to deal with in our culture. But think of the blessings that taxes provide us as far as protection goes. We have law enforcement. We have our first responders and our firefighters. They all protect us in our communities. And we have our military, who protects us as a nation and our national interests, for which we give thanks to the Lord. But there's some other words that describe maybe more of our condition before the Lord God and what's known in our hearts. Things that we deal with in life that challenge us in faith and living in the Lord. Things like disease, loneliness, death. What protection do we have against these? And why would Jesus say to his disciples, "I will not leave you as orphans"? Obviously, there's some kind of issue that the disciples are dealing with when they hear about Jesus going back to his rightful place at the Father's right hand. There's a fear that Jesus senses in them, something that's ugly that he needs to address so that they might know his protection. Jesus, our Savior, our servant, our friend, our protector. This word orphan comes from the word all alone. All one, that's what I was meaning to say, of which we get the word alone. Jesus is addressing this issue that the disciples don't want to be left alone. Alone is an ugly word for us, and for many of us, probably all of us, something that we grapple with and wrestle with in aspects of life that we might be alone. In the early cultures of ancient Middle East and Jewish times, the Roman Empire, orphans were some of the most lonely, left alone people. They were discarded by society. There were no agencies to help them. And in fact, orphans were considered to be lowest on the totem pole as far as any kind of social standing or any kind of care needed for them. Now, it was interesting to have that in Jewish culture, because in the Jewish law, according to what the Lord God said, the Jewish people, the nation, Israelites, were meant to care for and provide protection for orphans. And of course, the early church then picked this up. And they included in the care of their community, the body of Christ, like this, the care of orphans and widows and others who are alone, like the lame, the diseased, those who are disabled, those who are marginalized in society, and the poor as well. And the church throughout its ages has provided opportunities for those who are struggling in these ways, being alone, orphaned in other words, have provided opportunities for people to be cared for. Orphanages, homes where people can live together to be cared for, hospitals, all of these aspects are parts of the Christian church that has reached out to care for people under this promise of Jesus. I will not leave you as orphans. I will protect you. When Jesus shares this word, as he's speaking to his disciples, not only is he addressing the earthly, the physical kinds of concerns that they might have dealt with, but Jesus also uses this word metaphorically to address our souls, the spirit of our life. I'm not going to leave you alone, unprotected, from the attacks of the evil one, from the curse of death, from the condemnation of your sin. I will not leave you unprotected. Or this way that we might hear, I'll not leave you alone, vulnerable, unprotected, without any care from one who loves you and cares for you and doesn't want to see you under the condemnation of sin, under the curse of death, separated from me for eternity. I don't want to leave you unprotected so that you don't have any kind of armor to live in as the evil one attacks you with his fiery arrows. I will not leave you vulnerable, alone, and unprotected, but I will care for you as my Father has sent me to care for all people. I will give my life. I will lay myself down as the vulnerable one in death. I will take on the condemnation of sin. I will be left alone in death and in a closed tomb. And I will do this for you. This is how much our Heavenly Father loves us. How much Jesus cares for us as our protector. In fact, Paul was reminding the church in Thessalonica of this truth. In 2 Thessalonians 3:3, the Lord Jesus is faithful. Faithful. And he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. This is the blessing that the Father gives to us as his people. Forgiven of our sins, given a new life in Jesus Christ by his resurrection, even in the promises of simple element of water and of the word, this is the promise that we live under as God's people. And in fact, Paul would remind the church in Ephesus, look what you've been given. You've been given the full armor of the Holy Spirit so that you would be protected in Christ Jesus as you live in these days until I bring you home. And one of those pieces of armor is that incredible shield of faith. Live behind that shield of faith so that you might be protected from the fiery arrows of the evil one. I give you this protection so that you might be faithful to me. Faithful to promises made, Eric and Anna, Michelle and Ellie, as sponsors and as parents, as the church, faithful, faithful unto the Lord. And as Jesus gives this encouraging word to these disciples, to us today, he gives this next step in this protection kind of encouragement. He says in verse 18, I will come to you. Part of my protection plan is that I will be with you. I'm going to come to you in my resurrection. And these same apostles who heard Jesus proclaim this truth welcomed him then several times. In fact, 10, 12 times Post-Jesus' resurrection, the disciples met with Jesus on various occasions. And then he ascended into heaven. And it was by his ascension then that the Holy Spirit was able to come like flames alighting on their heads. And they were able to convey the message of the good news to all who heard it in their various languages. And the Holy Spirit came as this promise of Jesus rested upon them. And we live too by the power of that same Spirit. Maeve does in the promises of baptism and for us as well. And we wait for Jesus to come again, to return one day, making all things new as we live under his protection. And we do, friends. We live with Jesus, our Savior, our servant, our friend, our protector. And the way we know that is because of what Jesus promised us. He said, "You are in me, and I am in you." Jesus lives within us. He's made our hearts his home, living temples. He's made our hearts his throne. And he lives within us, protecting us by his grace, by that power of faith to live in him each and every day. And there's some beautiful metaphors that Jesus uses. "I am the shepherd. You are my sheep. I protect you. I am the cornerstone, and you are living stones being built into a spiritual house. I am the vine, and you are the branches indeed. As you are brought in me, so you grow in my grace and goodness. And I am the groom. You are my bride." Ah, there's a wedding feast to come. And in that blessing of the Lord Jesus, when he welcomes us into the wedding feast, we'll join us to him as his bride in that perfect relationship that's marked by his protection unto eternity. No more tears, no more fear, no more being alone or death or dying, but one with God, our Savior, who is our Savior, our servant, our friend, our protector. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the joy of hearing your word again today and being affirmed in that promise of faith that you've given to us, that you are our protector, that we live under your protection, that we're your people now these days to go and spread that message of your great love for us, that others too don't have to be alone or live with the dread and the fear of death, of dying, or disease, but to be protected on the forgiveness of your sin, of our sins in your cross, in your empty tomb, in your reigning at the Father's right hand, that we have an eternal relationship with you. Bless us as we live out this message and speak about it with our friends and family and all who know us, all who we come in contact with, that they too might know Jesus, our Savior, our servant, our friend, our protector. To him be the praise and the glory as you live and work within us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. May the peace of God that passes our understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ the Lord, in Jesus, as he loves you and lives in you. Amen.